Ephesians chapter 5, our portion this evening is verses 22 through 24. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in weakness, amazed at your great love for us, that not only would you give your Son to us to be the Savior of the body and our head and delight, our everlasting groom, but that you are willing by your Spirit and currently by your Spirit making us into a bride fit to be presented to your Son. That seems beyond our hope or expectation. Stir up our faith to know the certainty of your word. And help us now as we come in weakness by the almighty power of your grace as applied by your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. These are God's words. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So in last week's portion, we had all those participles, but they all were underneath the verb be filled with the Spirit. And then we come into a section that goes from Ephesians 5:22 through chapter 6 and verse 9, after which he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes into the familiar spiritual warfare section, last half of chapter 6. So where does the apostle begin in describing the Spirit-filled life? And for what does the apostle first tell us in this section that believers need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and suited up with the armor of God? In the submission of wives to their husbands. Now you who are husbands may snarkily think, oh yeah, the only way that's ever going to happen is by the Holy Spirit. And you who are wives, even you who are, and especially you who are convinced of this Bible teaching, I'm sure you are also saying, oh yeah, The only way that is ever going to happen is by the Holy Spirit. This is the front line of the spiritual war. It was the front line of the creation mandate. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Adam was unable to do that by himself. Woman was created to be at the center, not at the head, but at the center of God's plan for filling the earth with his image bearers. She is still at the center of God's plan for filling the earth with renewed image bearers. She shall be saved through childbearing at the end of 1 Timothy 2 is not a consolation prize. It is the coronation of a queen. And so it is not surprising that in coming and attacking through the woman in Genesis chapter 3, that Satan, who for all of his cleverness and power is not particularly creative, as he uses the same tactic over and over and over again, has tipped his hand. It's not just countercultural to teach that wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord, or that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, or that as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything, or that what older women are to teach the younger women to do in Titus chapter 2 includes being obedient to their husbands, or even at the end of this chapter, nevertheless, let each one of you husbands in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she reverences, she fears with holy fear, godly fear, her husband. Or even 1 Peter 3, that she would call him Lord as Sarah did. These are things that, if you say them out loud in church, you get faces, and maybe some faces you never see again. These are things that even those of you ladies who are convinced of and love the truth of God and this truth of God find your own heart bristling against, and your new heart in Christ fighting to beat down that bristling remainder of your flesh. And so it's probably not surprising to you that there's all kinds of reinterpreting and misinterpreting of this passage. Just attend a wedding led by a minister who is accustomed to trying to soften the cross-cultural blow. And he will spend this entire passage and the next one teaching that submission means everything else except for yielding to the authority and direction of your husband in everything, and that a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church means everything else other than leading his wife the way Christ leads the church. But we have to be careful with what we do to the submission of the husband in verses 22 through 24. I wonder if any of you children have ever been to one of those hands-on type places, maybe a museum or something like that, and they'll have one of these things where it'll have a drawing on the one side and a blank piece of paper on the other side, and you put your, you have the fake pen on the side with the drawing because they don't want you to mess up the drawing for the next person who comes along, and there's an actual pen, and they usually let you choose the color to give you some sense of control on the other side, and you carefully trace over here on the one picture, and while you're doing that, the pen that's attached on the other side is drawing the picture, and then when you're done, you grab the one that you drew, and you run over and you show mom or dad this amazing thing that you drew, and look how marvelous it is. Well, some of us didn't do marvelously, even with all the help, because we're not particularly good at tracing. And whatever you messed up doing to the picture on the left-hand side, it also happened to the picture on the right-hand side. Well, you can't come to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 and mess around with the wife's submission to her husband without looking over at the picture of the church's submission to Christ and realizing you just done messed that up too. Because he ties the two together. I said a few moments ago, you who are brides or aspiring brides one day, young ladies, but all of us collectively are a bride, aren't we? We are all in submission to Christ. And it is a submission of which he is worthy and in which he is dependable. He is the Savior of the body. We ought to be much more, much better servants to Christ than that annoying character that sometimes makes it into a film where someone accidentally saves his life at the beginning of the film. He says, "My life belongs to you." And he just makes a pest of himself for the rest of the film or the rest of the book, following the guy around, doing everything that the guy wants. As soon as he hears that the guy might want or need it, throwing himself in front of every obstacle or attack upon the guy because he owes him his life. Well, Christ is the Savior of the body, and he is worthy of that kind of eager, continual, delighted service and willingness to endure anything for him because we owe him our life. And even more so, he's the Savior of the body who isn't just worthy of our submission, but he is dependable in enabling us to submit. Because that's part of our salvation. We are being saved from not submitting to him. A husband can't give you the ability to submit to him. And he can't become worthy of the kind of submission that Jesus says you have to give him, ladies. He can't. The temptation will be that when he's not doing well, you think that his decreased worthiness of being submitted to somehow decreases the level of obligation, the delight that you should take in submitting to your husband. But it wasn't his worthiness that it was based on to begin with, was it? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's not just giving you a pattern, but a participation. Yes, there is a pattern. As you submit to the Lord, so also you should submit to your husband. But there's also a participation. Part of a wife's submission to the Lord is her submission to her husband. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And some people want to mess around with this because they want to get all authority out of marriage. And they say, "Oh, well, that means the, you know, sometimes the word head can be used like, oh, like a river head is the source." Well, it's kind of true that Christ is the source of the life of the church. But that's something far worse to put on the husband, to be the source of the life of his wife, as Christ is the source of the life of the church. That kind of creative interpretation or exegesis actually makes an idol out of the husband in a very wicked way. But the only way that the word head is used like this in Koine Greek that we know of is actually the authority sense. The husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He establishes the plan. He gives the direction. He expresses the way he would like things to go. And that's a great responsibility, and we'll talk about that responsibility next time, but it puts on the wife the responsibility of following and submitting to her husband. Say, oh, well, that's in a limited sense. There are some things in which no, verse 24 doesn't let us out that way. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That means once you get married, once you say, I do, ladies, there is never a moment of the rest of your and your husband's life where you are not his wife. And in everything you do, you are thinking about how it affects him and the fact that you belong to him. It impacts every part of it. There is no, you know, private me anymore. You continue to be your own self, your individual, but you're an individual, but you are also one flesh with your husband. And a woman who is married is never doing anything apart from being that man's wife. You say, well, that sounds a little extreme. Well, you know what? Christianity is a little extreme. Because once you trust in Jesus, there are no breaks from belonging to Jesus Christ. There's no thought that you think, there's no word that you speak, there's no place that you go, there's no action that you take, except that you take it as a Christian. Because you have been united to Jesus, and that's something that doesn't get turned off, and it's something that doesn't have any exceptions. And that's one of the reasons why marriage is such a wonderful thing. Because that is something that is one of God's greatest gifts to us. And when you're a wife, or when you become a wife, it is something that will never get taken away from you. It can never be turned off. There are no exceptions until death ends it. Which is one of the reasons why abandonment or adultery, those things that end marriages, are so awful, because they are murders. Young men, listen to me. You murder the one flesh person that God creates with you and your wife if you are unfaithful to her. Because she can't stop being your wife. She is to submit to you in everything. We say, oh, that's impossible. Well, that's Christianity. It's all impossible. Were you listening when Mr. Josiah was reading the law about not even being angry for an unjust reason? Not hating in your heart? Not saying empty head? I don't want anybody to go home and say, ha ha, Raka means empty head, and you start using empty head as your favorite name to call. Jesus said name calling is as bad as murder before the eyes of God. Is murder before the eyes of God, not as bad as. Nothing about the Christian life is possible. That's why the Christian life is wonderful. Because it's done by the Holy Spirit filling you and applying Jesus to you and the power of God in you. So, if the wives submit to their own husbands, as the church submits to Christ, I want you to think about what their children will see. This is something that probably everyone who is currently a wife in the room just cringed at. But I want you girls to want your future children, as you're playing Dolly. I don't know how many of you girls like to play Dolly. It's a wonderful thing to play. But you should be focusing not on what you like to put in her hair and how you like to dress her up and all those things, which are fine. And when you become a mama, that'll be fine. And there are silly mamas that's the primary thing they care about with their daughters. But when you play dolly, I want you to think about what your future boy or what your future girl is going to see when you're grown up and you're married and you have children for whom you have practiced with those dollies. Will they see you glad to please your husband, eager to find out how he likes things? Will they see you finding out that he wants to do something other than what you wanted or different than what you wanted and cheerfully switching over to what your husband's in, so that when you turn around to your children and you're explaining to them what it's like to walk with Jesus and what it's like to submit to Jesus, you could tell them, you know, sometimes it's like mommy with daddy. And I thought I wanted one thing, and then I found out daddy wanted something else. And I decided that's what I wanted, because that's what daddy wanted. And I submit to daddy. The way I submit to daddy, you and I, we need to submit to Jesus. Because if the analogy of the apostle is going to work for your future children, you need to make sure that the picture that they have of marriage in your home accurately reflects as a good example of the picture of how every Christian and how the church as a whole should submit to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord grant that it would be so. Let's ask Him for it. Father, I know how very different this is than the way the culture thinks, the way our flesh is bent. And Lord, some of these covenant daughters here, praise God, don't even know how exactly opposite this passage is the thinking, even in so much of the church. I pray that you would grant the ministry of your Spirit to make it take root in all of our hearts. Oh, make Hopewell a congregation that is as a bride unto Christ as we have just been hearing described. And we pray that you would help those who are wives already, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that as we sing together on the Lord's Day, you would make the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. As we hear your word preached, as we pray together and attend upon the sacraments, as they worship in private and in the family, that you would be using all of those times to fill them with your Spirit, to give them the strength of the Lord Jesus to be in them, to equip and suit them with the armor of God, so that they may be able to conduct themselves not just outwardly, but from their hearts in their marriages, as has been described now. And we pray that what our children see in the way mommy submits to daddy, that would be a good picture for them of the way we all should submit to Christ. Please do this for us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.